Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles. The Brain Trust members, you can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out our blog. Lots of stuff there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And also, that's our flagship website, which we've had now for 10 years. And then, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can go to get small business answers right now. We've anticipated your questions, and we have answers waiting on you. So check that out at askjim.biz. Both of our websites have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. You can come on in and hang out with us, and we'll let you use all of our stuff for free, thanks to our corporate partners. Quint Studer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned earlier that Quint Studer was going to be here, and he is. He's a guy who teaches us about so well about the people, about how to manage the people we work with and the people we do business with, how to deal with those relationships. He spent many years in the healthcare industry as an outstanding award-winning executive. He's now formed his own company called the Studer Group. He's written a number of books on these topics, including his new one, which has become a bestseller, Results That Last. I'm glad to say he's our good friend. Quint Studer, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, I'm glad to say you're my good friend, too. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you back. One of the things that I've said for a long time, Quint, is whenever I've talked about telling people giving them some tips on how to deal with employees, I've said, you know what? Give everybody an opportunity to redeem themselves. You redeem them if it is possible within a reasonable period of time. But after a certain point, if they don't seem to be, allowing themselves to be redeemed, consider them deadwood and cut them, move them out. And that's the first chapter in your book. Basically, you say deal with low performers and move your organization to the next level by they either move up or they move out. It's interesting to me that you made that your first chapter.
Well, it's interesting. Wiley wanted 17 distinct chapters so people could use the book almost as a resource guide. So sequencing them, we had options. It wasn't like we were telling a story, a story-type book. And when we looked at it, we led off with that story because we do think in our research, we have 7 people that do research for us. We find that organizations, and the name of the book is Results That Last, and we find the reason most organizations' results don't last, they have them for a while, they have them for a short term, is the fact that they're just very much don't deal with their low performer. And if you don't deal with your low performer, it's not only the low performer that causes your company problems, but now it becomes your middle performer, your high performer, because they get frustrated. We have a research that shows 49% of high performers are looking for another job, and only 16% of low performers. And I always tell people, we have good retention strategies. Unfortunately, we're retaining the wrong people.
The wrong people, exactly. Well, the the low performers don't just not do their work. They don't just cause bottlenecks for other people's work. But the result of all that creates bad morale throughout the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember a lady named Linda Deering that I've worked with for years. One time, I told her to be a great executive, she was going to have to deal with her low performer. It was real hard on her. And all of a sudden, one day, human resources let her know that 2 of her high performers walked and quit. And she was shocked. And they quit because they just didn't want to work with the low performer anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens all the time. And so what do you do? In small business, Quint, as We have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. And as you also know, one of the real serious problems in the marketplace today is being able to find enough people, let alone highly qualified people, to take the jobs that we have.
Well, and that's, so
there's not exactly, you know, really good people lined up out the door.
But we find that's that rationalization where you have to have that leap of faith. And we find we go into organizations all the time and or talk to them, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm in, you know, Monroe County, Iowa, and if I get rid of this person, I don't know if I'll replace them. Well, you don't replace them because they're already sitting there. And we find you have to take that leap of faith. And once you get rid of that low performer, we have found that you will find somebody else. But you don't realize that the low performer is not only scaring away customers, but they're scaring away other potential employees, too.
All right, here are your words. Deal with low performers. What does deal mean?
Okay, well, I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell you some real unique things, and I'm going to try to go quick because of your time, but we find one of the great mistakes people make is they don't spend enough time with the high and middle performer. We find that people spend almost six hours with the dealing with low performer issues versus 1 hour dealing with what we call high or middle. Yet 92% of your employees are usually high or middle. So the uniqueness of our approach is not only do you deal with the low performer, but you start dealing with them by first of all moving the high and middle performer. And tell me when you get a commercial, but I'm going to go
quick. Keep going.
First thing you do is, first of all, you have to keep your high performer with you. You just can't start dealing with the low performer. You have to go to the high performer, and I'll do that with you, Jim. I'm going to say, Jim, I wanted to meet with everybody one-on-one. And first thing, Jim, I want to tell you, the high performer wants to know a few things. Where's the organization going? Because high performers want to be winners.
Right.
You know, Jim, I'm real excited about where our company's going right now. You know, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jim. I want to thank you for what you do. Then high performers want to know specifically that you know what's going on. Jim, let me tell you why you're so valuable here. And then I give my points.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, is there anything we can do, I can do, Jim, because I want to keep you? We did this with 300,000 employees.
You could give me a raise.
Well, it's interesting, though. We did this with 300,000 employees in 2005 across the country, and not one high performer asked for money.
Is that
They're
right?
Smart enough to know the issue. What they ask for is more opportunity.
See, that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of managers don't do as much positive reinforcement, because if they're afraid if they say what you say that the person's going to put the arm on them for a raise.
And they don't. They usually ask for more opportunity, more training, or more responsibility.
Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with some more of Results That Last right after these messages, including rounding. This is not rounding up your fractions. This is another kind of rounding. We're going to get Quint to tell us about 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Listen to the wind blow.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Quint Studer, the author of Results That Last. It's a new book already on the bestseller. Number 7 on the bestseller, is that right? The business
books?
Yeah,
first week out. We're real excited.
Congratulations. And I've got my autographed copy right here, folks, and I certainly recommend it to you. Check it out, Results That Last, wherever books are sold, right, Quint?
Yes, but it's got Hudson Bookstores and the airports, Barnes & Nobles, and also, of course, Amazon.com.
So check it out, folks. Okay, quickly, let's go. I want to get to rounding real quick, but what to do, how to deal with low performers, and you were talking about the high performers already. What about the other guys?
We have to move the high performer, and the reason is the low performers don't have enough critical mass to survive, so they get one or two of those middle performers, and they can play their brain. They do the wee-they, and they talk behind the boss's back. So that middle performer is key. And with the middle performer, you meet with them, you tell them you're pleased they're with you and you want to keep them, because they're a little anxious, you know, where do I stand? So you tell them you want to keep them, you tell them what they do well, then you tell them you're committed to their development, and middle performers like attention. They want some professional development. You talk about one thing that they'd like some you know, help on, attention on, training on. Then you close with, again, you close with, you know, the compliments, which moves them away from the low performer. Because when
right.
you go after the low performer, they're going to go grab that middle performer and try to get them with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the low performer, what you have to realize is you've tried everything nice with the low performer. You know, you've rearranged their schedule. They come in at 8,
right.
they're supposed to be there at 7:30, so you've made it 8. You've, you know, and low performers have survival techniques. And
they're high maintenance guys, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're not afraid of crucial talks, crucial conversations. They've had them in third grade, eighth grade,
right.
their first
they have,
two
they
marriages.
Have no shame, no pride.
So what you do with the low performers, you bring them in. Of course, you tell them that you want to talk, they're not to interrupt you, and we call it, for your listeners, we call it desk. You describe the behavior you're observing. You evaluate either what policy they broke, what standard they're not following. You know, like I'd say something like, you know, Bob, I want to describe that yesterday in the work area I asked you to make sure you put that scaffolding away before the work was done. I came in this morning, and the scaffolding was still up. I'm really disappointed because, you know, that's a safety issue here at our company, and we've had this discussion before. I should have given you a verbal warning then, but I didn't. Should have given you a written warning, but I didn't. So you do the E. Now, if you're going to keep them, let them go that day, you say, I will show you today exactly how to take that scaffolding down.
Yeah.
If because they're a little performance.
But then do you tell Bob what the consequences are if it happens again?
Well, that's the K. So it's D for observe, describe the behavior, E, evaluate how I feel, S, show them what performance looks like. So because they're going to say nobody told me, you know, they never showed me.
Yeah.
And then K, let them know the consequences. You know, this this is now a written warning. If it happens again, you will be let go. Now, they still think, by the way, that you're going to forget about it. So now you have to say, and we're going to continue to meet every 2 weeks, or I'm going to continue to sit down with you every week until your performance consistently meets expectations or you're no longer here. We find after that conversation, 33% of the people quit on their own because they don't. Yeah. They're going to go to someplace else who's not going to hold them accountable.
They're going to start looking right away. Let's move over and talk about rounding. You in chapter two, you talk about rounding for outcomes. What do you mean by rounding?
I mean by rounding, it's called specifically engaging the customer or the employee for the outcome that you're looking for. You know, years ago, Tom Peters wrote a book and talked about managing by wandering around. Well, I don't think in year 2007 we can wander. We just don't have the time. We got to be much more specific about what we do. So I was in a restaurant the other day. As you know, I own a minor league baseball team, and I was with our ownership group met in down in Pensacola. And we were in a restaurant, and you know, like they do, the manager walked around and said, "How's is everything?" Well, you know, I'm a firm believer that most people, unless it's unbelievable bad, are going to say, "Fine," but they're sitting there thinking, "But I'll never come back here again."
Right.
Or the cashier goes, "How everything?" So we call it rounding on employees and rounding on customers. Now, to me, if that manager really wanted to dig deep, they would have said, you know, how is your server today?
Right.
You know,
was your food cooked properly?
Was your food cooked properly?
Was everybody warm or cool or whatever? Yeah.
Yes. Did you get what you ordered? Did the water glass not get filled up correctly? And what you can do too, Jim, is you can really focus on what you're working on. If you're working on, you know, making sure something gets done, immediately you can come in and say, you know, how was the salad? Maybe you're making sure the salad's good.
I've actually had people to do that. I've actually had people walk up to me and say, how was this specific thing? And I'd say, well, it was fine. And they say, well, I'm glad to know that because we've been working on that particular thing lately.
Absolutely. And so when we say rounding for outcomes, which, by the way, is number chapter two, because we find this is crucial. So we want to engage. And so with the customer, we want to be very specific instead of just saying, how was everything?
Yeah.
For example, I'm a big believer that if in certain jobs, the person should give their introduction. So rounding for outcomes is being very specific either with the customer or the employee on your questions
and
your engagement.
Be specific. Don't be vague. The book is called Results That Last by Quint Studer, wherever books are sold. Quint, give us your website quickly, please.
It's www.studergroup.com, or they can go to www.quintsbooks.com for this one.
Thank you, Quint. See you next time. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.